Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly, we give honor and thanks for being on the broadcast today. Thank God for all that He is doing. I know we're going through some tough times, but God is able. He is still God. He is sovereign. He is still on the throne, and we're so thankful just to be a part of His family, to be His child. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. I know God. I'm thankful that I got God. I'm thankful I'm in His arms. I'm thankful I'm in His hands. God is an awesome God, and He is worthy to be praised and worthy to be glorified. We're so thankful for all that He is doing and how He is keeping us, that how He is, the plague is not coming nigh our dwelling. We're so thankful for all that God is, and He is awesome. We thank God for everybody that will be joining the broadcast today, those that will log in, those that will call in, and those that will listen to the broadcast later. We're so thankful for God that God is doing and just everything. We pray that everyone is well. We pray that everyone is, and even though we're kind of confined and we're kind of, in having to be in the house and things like that, can't get out like we used to, we pray that everybody is utilizing their time wisely, this time that the Lord has given us, this time that we have. We thank God for all of that. And so we're going to open up with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your mercy and we thank you for your grace. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, just to touch, hallelujah, each and every one, oh God, on this prayer call today, on this teaching today, on the broadcast today. We ask you, Lord, to thank you. Those that will listen in, those that will log in, those that will call in, those that will listen to us on Facebook Live, and those that will even listen later. God, we're pleading the blood of Jesus over the lives of your people. Lord, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, to cover them with your blood. So many are losing family here that lost their loved one over here in DeSoto, Texas, that lost their loved one, lost their father and husband, and we lost them on yesterday, oh God. And Lord, we just ask you to bless these families, oh God, who are burying loved ones, oh God, during this time, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch those families and comfort them as only you can. God, we're asking you, Lord, for mercy, oh God. We're asking you, Lord Jesus, to give us mercy, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're asking, oh God, glory to God. We're asking you, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, that you will bless those, Lord, that are in the hospital, that are on ventilators, oh God. Some are in quarantine, oh God. Bless them. Bless their minds, oh God. Bless their minds to stay in faith, oh God, that they will believe that they're going to come out of this thing and that they will not die, but they will live and declare the works of the Lord. God, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, for miracles, Father. We're asking you, Lord, to cover this country, Father, in the name of Jesus. Cover the United States, Lord, and the various cities. Cover New York City, oh God, where it seems to be more cases every day. But Lord, we know that you're able to deliver. We know that you're able to heal. God, this virus isn't too hard for you, oh God. We know that you can call it, you can speak a word, and it will cease, Father, in the name of Jesus. So God, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, to do the miraculous on our behalf. But God, I'm also asking you, Lord, to let people's hearts turn toward you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let souls be saved, Lord, in record numbers, God, that people will come saying, what must I do to be saved and desire you more than they this world? Oh, God, we're asking you, Lord, oh, God, we're asking you, Lord, hallelujah, Lord, that you will bless people that have lost loved ones that maybe didn't have the cold, that didn't have problems with the coronavirus, oh, Lord. Touch them, those families as well, oh, God. Send your comforting to them. Holy Spirit, comfort them as only you can. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless those in the hospitals, oh, God. Lord Jesus, that are going through all kinds of things, oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But, God, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, because we know that you are a healer, oh, God. Send your healing virtue into every hospital room all over this country and all over this world, God. Lord, we ask you to bless every medical professional worker, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to give them strength, God, in the name of Jesus. Cover them with your blood. Bless their families, oh, God, because some of them are working two and three shifts, oh, God. But bless their families, oh, God, during this time, and bless their bodies, Lord, during this time. Cover them with your blood, oh, God. Keep them safe for contracting the virus. And those that have, God, we speak healing, oh, God. Oh, Lord, we need you as never before, God. Hallelujah. We're speaking your face and not your hand. So, God, we're asking you, Lord Jesus, just to bless, God. Blessed as only you can, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask you to go into the nursing homes of where our senior citizens, Lord, are, Lord Jesus, and we ask you to move mightily, clear that air, oh God, clear their, where they are, Lord Jesus. Don't let it come nigh their dwelling, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we ask you to bless them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless these households, oh God, where the children are there, Lord. Lord, we rebuke spousal abuse. We rebuke child molestation. We rebuke child abuse, and we rebuke parent abuse. Lord, bless every CPS worker that still has to go out and get children, oh God. We rebuke it. We ask you to cover them with your blood as well, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we glorify you and we magnify your holy name. Lord, bless California, oh God, and Washington State, some of these states that seem to be really having the higher numbers. Oh, God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless in the name of Jesus. God, let the people take this thing serious and let them stay at home if they get the opportunity to stay at home. Stop running around just acting like it ain't happening, because, Lord, it is happening. Oh, God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, to cover our pastors and our leaders, oh, God. Bless our apostles, our prophets, our evangelists, our teachers, and our pastors, God. Every man and woman of God that preaches the gospel, oh, God. Lord, we ask you to cover them as well, okay, as Lord, bless those bishops in Detroit that have failed, oh, God. We ask you, Lord, to touch their bodies, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Some have lost their lives for various other reasons, not because of the COVID. But, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to cover those families. Bless Mount Zion Apostolic Church in Indianapolis, where there seems to be some of them are getting sick, oh, God. We ask you, Lord, to cover them with your blood. Lord, go in and heal, Lord. Heal our land, God. Let us humble ourselves before you, Lord. Let us forgive, repent of our sins, oh, God. Lord, I repent of sins of omission and commission, oh, God. Sins, oh God, of arrogance and pride, oh God, in the name of Jesus. The lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. Oh God, we repent, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, clear our land, oh God. Heal our land, Lord, heal our land. Bless every intercessor, Lord, that is standing on the wall in prayer, God. Oh God, touch them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, let us pray in the spirit, oh God, because this is a spiritual battle. We need to fight, oh God, in the name. We don't need to fight. God, you've already done the work, oh God, in the name of Jesus. But Lord, let us stay in prayer, oh God, for our neighbors and all around about us. Pray, Lord, one for one another, oh God. Our family members that don't know you, oh God. Don't let us get frustrated because they still don't want to act like they don't want to know you, Lord. But let us keep with loving kindness, because your word said with loving kindness has drawn us. So, Lord, let us show loving kindness unto them that you may draw them unto thee, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God, I thank you today, hallelujah. Bless all those, hallelujah, under the sound of my voice right now. God, I ask you to move mightily in their lives, oh God. We rebuke lack, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, don't let it be no lack. I don't care if they're unemployed. Let it not be no lack, God. Show your hand in this situation, oh God. Let your word, let your provision sustain us during this time, oh God. Lord, let us make wise decisions, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, don't let us be going around doing things unwisely, oh God. But Lord, let us seek after thee as never before. Let us seek the kingdom, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. Oh God, and heaven, all this other stuff will be added. But Lord, let us seek after thee what we can do in this time and this hour, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I glorify you. Oh God, I thank you, oh Lord. Bless our families, Lord. Bless our families, Lord. Bless the men, God. It seems like it's been trying to attack the men, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray for our brothers, our fathers, our sons, and all those uncles and grandfathers and all of those, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask your protection over their lives, oh God. In the name of Jesus, let us be cautious as well, oh God. Just don't let us jump out there and do stuff, Lord, thinking, oh, well, I can't because God's going to cover me. Lord, we know you're covering us, but let us be wise, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Speak to our hearts and our minds during this time. Let us spend this time more in prayer, more in our word, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless, Lord Jesus, the leadership of this country, oh God. Give them some wisdom concerning this situation, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to touch them as only you can. Save, God, save, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we rebuke all this other foolishness. Spirit. But, Lord, let us focus our attention. Bless our police officers, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bless our first responders. Bless our paramedics. Bless, Lord Jesus, the firemen, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Cover them with your blood, God. And all those that were helping, oh God, and trying to see about others, oh God, that have contracted this virus, we thank you, Lord, for divine healing, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we glorify you. We magnify your holy name, God. Oh God, I thank you today for your mercy, hallelujah. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your healing. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for every ministry that is trying their best to keep connected to their people. Bless those pastors. Some of them may not have internet access. They may not have online status. Lord, let them get a free conference line and stay connected to their people, oh God, to their church members, God, in the name of Jesus. We're your people, Lord. We're your workmanship, God. We thank you, Lord. We glorify and we magnify your holy name, God. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, God. Turn the hearts of the people unto thee, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let us not be afraid to tell somebody about you, Lord. Let us not be afraid to tell our family members that a service is going on. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to save such as should be saved, oh God. Save from the uttermost to the guttermost, God. Oh, Lord, don't let people, Lord, be dependent upon fools during this time. Don't let them be dependent upon drugs. Don't let them be dependent upon alcohol. But, Lord, let their dependence and their confidence be in you, God. Let them trust in you as never before, God, in the name of Jesus. Trusting in the Lord with all thy heart and leaning not to thine own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging you, Lord. Let direct their path, God. Oh, Lord, blesses a man who trusts in the Lord. Let us trust in you today, God. Oh, I glorify and I magnify your holy name, for you are worthy. Bless all of these cities, oh, God, where the numbers keep going up. Oh, God, stay the hand of the plague in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, just like you did for David. Hallelujah, when he had numbered the people, oh, God. And, Lord, you sent the plague. But, Lord, you had mercy on us, God. Hallelujah, you had mercy. Lord, and you stated, let us cry out to thee. You said this poor man cried. You heard him and delivered him out of all his trouble. Oh, Lord, don't let us be too arrogant to cry out. Don't let us be too, such much that we won't speak after thee, God. Oh, Lord, strengthen our prayer life. Strengthen our word, our study of the word. Strengthen us in you, oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We'll be mindful to give you the praise. We'll give you the glory. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you got the cure. You're the answer, God. And, Lord, you're going to put it in the heart and mind of somebody. But, Lord, when they get it done, let them be mindful to give you the glory and the praise. Lord, give it to them in such a way that they can't say nothing but God did it. God is the one that done it in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you right now, God. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Yay, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, in the most high. Oh, I glorify healing, God, in the name of Jesus. Healing, God, in the name of Jesus. Heal the hearts and minds of your people. Heal their physical bodies, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We rebuke suicide, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. We rebuke loneliness in the name of Jesus. We come against depression, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, love your people, Lord. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for keeping us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. In the name of Jesus, God, I glorify you. Oh, God, I thank you. Oh, we glorify you today, God.
Bless your name.
Oh, God, we bless every flight attendant, oh, God. Everyone, every pilot, God, in the name of Jesus. Cover them with your blood. Some of them still got to work, and they've got people coming on the planes that may be infected. Cover them, God. Bless the family of the flight attendant that lost his life, oh, God. And I think it was a bag handler that lost his life. But, God, we ask you to bless, oh, God. Bless all those with immune system situations, oh God, and respiratory situations. Cover them, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we ask you to bless families during this time. Let them come together, oh God, and not be separate. Oh God, we thank you for everything, Lord.
Wow.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, God,
hallelujah.
We thank you. Hallelujah, glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory, we give you the praise because you are our God. Hallelujah, you're the sovereign God. Hallelujah, you're the omnipotent one. You're the omniscient one. Hallelujah, Lord, you're all powerful. Oh, God, we thank you. All power belongs to you, and we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, hallelujah. Let us give you our attention during this time, oh, God, because you deserve it all. You deserve the glory. You deserve it, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name, God.
God, I thank you. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Let there be no lack in the houses, oh God. Hallelujah. Let everybody have everything they need, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I thank you. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Those that have lost their jobs, Lord, we're covering them also, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, that they don't have work and they were service workers or whatever they were or whatever place they were in. God, we don't even know about nothing else, but, Lord, we ask you to cover, God, in the name of Jesus. You are our provider. You are our peace. Hallelujah. You are our strength in the time of weakness, oh, God. You are our refuge. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, oh, God. Hallelujah. I glorify you and I magnify your name. Bless all those that are worried, oh, God. But, Lord, let them turn every worry to prayer. Let them turn every worry to praise. Hallelujah, and then watch you work. We thank you that nobody will be homeless during this time, oh God. And those that are homeless, God, bring a blessing with shelter, God. Bless them with food. Thank we, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all of those that you put it on their heart to try to provide those things for them. We ask you to bless them with special blessings, oh God. Bless every church, Lord Jesus, that's taking dinners to the medical professional workers and all of these things, all the things, these acts of kindnesses that are going on. We ask you, Lord, to bless Lord Jesus in the name of Jesus. Cover them as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, oh my God, I almost thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't but praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, James. Praise the Lord.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him.
That's it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Elder McLeod, thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank y'all for joining me. Thank you, Sister Dodson, for being on the line. Glory to God. We just so thankful. And I'll tell you, I was calling myself going to wrap up trust, and I am. I'm wrapping it up because I'm going from trust to commitment. But I just started beginning to think about Jesus and who displays the ultimate thing about trust. We've been talking about trust for some time. We've been talking about trust probably, I want to say, for probably the last seven to eight weeks. And so, but, you know, because we got, if we never needed to trust God, now we need to trust him. And God should be the person that we trust anyway. He is trustworthy. You know, I told you, trust is that thing that we trust in their character and their integrity. So we trust God that way. But Jesus, who really displays more of a, because I talked about David last week, I talked about Moses the week before, and I talked about them and how they had such a trust in God and they had such a heart for God. And we have such a, our hearts need to turn toward God. These are heart matters. Let our heart be with God in the place where God wants us to be so that we can be found in the right place and doing the right thing. I'm just so thankful for this opportunity. But let me try to get, get myself back here so I get this done. I get this together. I got excited. But anyway, you know, when I thought about Jesus and Jesus, how he is the perfect example of trusting God. Of course, we know that Jesus is both God and man. But still, the man side of him had to trust in him. And so we thank for his example of showing us how to trust in the Father. Even when times got rough with Jesus. So, you know, Jesus at one point began to show his humanity, the humanity side of him. And he began to be, especially when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how he began to be sorrowful and how he, because he knew what was getting ready to happen. He knew where his destiny and his purpose was. And so just like like I said about Moses when he preached it, when he taught the book of Deuteronomy, and how in that particular book that he taught, I think the first 28 chapters is him speaking and really reiterating to the generation that was about to go across over into the promised land, how he got up and he reiterated all the things that God had done. And he talked about those things and how he talked about those things. And he knew that day that he was going to die. But he got up in the strength of the Lord, and he got up in the boldness of Christ and in the anointing of the Lord, and he began to preach to the people and began to tell the people about all the things that God had done and how God was going, and all of that. He just told them all of these things. And he told them that if you do this, then this is going to happen. If you do this, and he'd done all that. And that was all in one day. And then after that, he went up to the mountain. God told him to go up to the mountain. And, of course, he got to look over into the promised land. And then and it said that Moses died. And then after that grieving process that Israel went through, then they began to go over into the promised land. But Joshua had trusted God so, because he had been there the whole time. He was there when they came out of Egypt. He was there, and so he saw all of these things happen. But he was the one that had that faith and that trust in God, that even when they went to Kadesh Barnea, you know, they were there, and they were. And he told him, he said, "No, this is praise the Lord, Elder Montgomery." He said, "Pray, you know, that he was the one that when him and Caleb came back with that good report." Well, the same thing it is with Jesus. Jesus was our example. He came to be our example. It said he was at all points tempted, but he was yet without sin. So he is that one that we are to look up to, and that one that we are to trust in, and because he's our Savior. And so I began to think about Jesus in so many ways. I thought about his commitment and his trust in God. But when Jesus was going to, this kind of speaks about, this particular passage of Scripture begins to speak to his trust and his commitment to God. When we talk about him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and let's read it, I think it's Matthew 26 and 35. Let's see, I got it in this little right Bible, but anyway, let's go with it. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which was James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch one hour? Watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into the temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And so, and then I'm going to go on to this, keep going a little further. "And he went and prayed away again, and the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, why thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed unto the hand of the sinners." And so I was thinking about that particular scripture. And then I also was thinking, I got another scripture I want to read too, and it's Mark, and it's kind of different. It's going before this, but actually Mark 5:36, where it says, "Jesus overheard that they were talking about and said to the leader, Don't listen to them, just trust me." And that's in the message form, that one right there. But the reason why I'm reading that too is because I want to talk, I was talking about trust, and then that's more, the first scripture I read is really more toward commitment. I kind of got myself together, I got back on track. But anyway, so the first scripture when it talks about in Mark 5:36, this is, in Mark 5, it's talking about all the times, it talks about the lunatic man, the man that was over there when, you know, when the pig, when he cast the demon out and the demon went into the pig, he talks, that's in that particular scripture. The woman with the issue of blood is in that particular scripture when she had touched the hem of his garment. And so Jesus at that time was really on his way to Jairus' house. So Jairus had approached Jesus and told him that his daughter was sick. And so Jesus was on his way there, but then all these other things were going on. And so the woman with the issue of blood, she touched his garment, and he felt the virtue come out of him. And I'm bringing this point up because what I want to say is because, you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, I don't know. You know, sometimes I think I've talked to people, and they say, well, they felt like, you know, maybe God is doing other things, and he hadn't got to them yet. But God, he was, in this particular story right here, God was helping everybody. Jesus was helping everybody. Nobody that came in his presence at that time they all got what they needed. It might not have been in that instant. Jairus had to wait a minute because the woman with the issue of blood made him stop and pause, and the people were thronging him, and people were, you know, touching him. But this one particular touch caused Jesus to stop and say, "Who touched me?" And so because of that, and so I'm thinking, too, there's a touch that we can make to God that will cause him to stop and say, "Who touched me?" And so we don't have to worry about if our need is going to be met. Our needs are going to be met. Our deliverance is going to come. Our healing can come because God is just that in tune with us. He's just that in tune with us. When we have God, just like when Israel, and I'm kind of jumping around, but anyway, when Israel, I think it's back in the second or third chapter of in Exodus, when they begin to cry out unto the Lord because of the reason of their slavery. They was enslaved, had been enslaved for 400 years, and the things had become harder and harder. And so they begin to cry out unto God. There's a cry that we can make. There's a sound that we can send to heaven that will cause God to turn things around. And because of that cry they made then, God began to send He began to put the deliverance in place. The deliverer, Moses, was out on the backside of the mountain at that time. And so he was going through with that thing. He was running from, he had killed somebody in Egypt. And so he was running. And so he was over there with Jethro, and he was over there, and he was doing things over there. But at that time, God was preparing him. He was preparing him for what was to come. Moses had been chosen long time ago. He was chosen as a child. That's why his mother sent him down the river. They were trying to kill the children then. They were trying to kill the deliverer even then when he was a child. But here we go. We come at that time, and so there was Moses. I know I feel like I'm skipping around, but anyway, I'm making a point. So anyway, but there was Moses, and he was the deliverer. And so when the people, the children of Israel, began to cry, God began to set in place for this deliverer to be able to do what God was telling him was going to have him to do. And so he was going to go to Egypt. He was going to be the ones, hey, Mama Lisa, he was going to be the ones, I mean, Pastor Clay, he was going to be the ones that was going to be the ones that were going to be helping out, that, you know, that he was going to be the one to help deliver them out of Egypt. He was already set in motion. Some of us got some things that God has already set in motion for us to do, but we just got to trust the Lord. We got to trust in the Lord. One thing that God said about Moses, he said that Moses was the best prophet that ever lived, but yet and still Jesus is still better than Moses. And so because Jesus was both prophet, priest, and king. But anyway, I don't want to go there yet because I'm getting ahead of myself. But what I want to keep saying is that the life and the pattern of Jesus was one that trusted God even though he was God. His humanity side had to trust in the Lord. So when he even went to the by the time he got to Jairus' house, I'm going back to my scripture. I had to keep on board because I think I just got excited from the prayer. But anyway, when he was on his way to Jairus' house, you know, he stopped for the woman with the issue of blood. So by the time he got to Jairus' house, the daughter was dead. And so when Jesus got there, and so he said, "Oh, she's not dead. She's just sleeping." And the people begin to laugh at him. They begin to laugh and do all this stuff. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? We got people around us sometimes that maybe they are not fully in our corner. And let me speak to this. Let me stop right there and speak to this because this came to my heart on today. You know, I know people are always talking about haters, and they're always talking about all these things. But one thing, I just can't get it in my spirit that, you know, I'm supposed to kick people to the curb. I can't get that in my spirit because God is a God of love. And although people may not be in your corner 100%, and they may be somewhat against you, we got to understand that those people that are in that position and they got the time to really take the time to come up with a hate plan for on with them. Because you can't have the love of God really in your heart and really be living totally for God and then be devising evil against somebody else. Come on, that don't even match up. So there's a problem there with that situation. And so when I thought about that, I thought about I was thinking about the disciples and how he had those ones close in his corner. And even though Jesus knew they were going to betray him, he knew Peter was going to betray him, he knew what Judas was going to do, he knew the other ones was going to scatter out when it got time for him to go to the cross. Praise the Lord, Mariah. One thing that he did was he didn't cast them aside. He didn't cast them aside. And he knew those things were going to happen because he always kept Peter, James, and John closer to him than he did any of the other disciples. But the same thing, and so I think I'm getting scattered. I was had this all planned out, but anyway, I read through it. But anyway, I think the prayer got me all excited. But anyway, I'm going on anyway. So anyway, but Jesus is the one that he is our example of trusting in the Lord. David was a good example. Moses was a good example. But if we think about all the things that Jesus went through just prior, praise the Lord, Sister Griffin, praise the Lord that Jesus went through and how he kept on doing what God told him to do. He had to have total trust in the Lord. And so let me go over here to Gethsemane. So I read that scripture first. But I just wanted to encourage somebody about, you know, how Jesus, it's a lot of things could be going on, but God is not, your situation is not too hard for God. Your situation is not being forgotten by God. Your situation still is on God's radar. He still got you in mind. So even though he was on his way to Jairus' house, when the woman touched his garment, he was able to know the virtue that came out of him all at the same time where he's already on track to do something else. He already knew what had just happened, and so he was able to get to that situation right there and then go on and steal. And when he touched the Lord, he spoke to the young lady, and then she came back to life. And so we got to understand this. Although people might not believe, that's why it is important that you have the right people in your corner. You have the right people around you. But I don't think it's for us to just throw people to the curb and act like they don't exist. I don't think that. I think we need to keep people in prayer because if people have that kind of time, then there's something deeper that's going on with them, and maybe we need to intercede on that behalf instead of just saying, I'm done with you. You know, we can't be done with nobody because God ain't done with us. First of all, let's think about that. He is still dealing with us because we ain't dotting every I and crossing every T. And if we were, then that would be a different situation. But we're not because we are not. Because if we were, we'd be like Enoch. He'd be done took us, but he ain't took us nowhere. So we still need to dot and cross. And so cross T's and dot I's. But I thank God, praise the Lord, Greg. And so we thank God for his mercy and his grace that he shows toward us. But we have got to get our hearts right that we are trusting in God and trusting in God only. I never will forget, this is my testimony, that I was at a job, and I really didn't know what the world I was doing, but I just trusted God. So I began to pray to God about how to do some doing. So I was doing some engineering, I was doing some wilderness medicine, I was on that summer program with some kids, and I didn't really, you know, I said, Lord, I ain't never done this stuff. But I prayed to God to show me how to do it, and it came out to be such a successful situation. What I'm saying is when you don't really know, pray to God and ask him what to do. Pray to God to ask him how to show you. Even if you're on a job and they're trying to train you and it seems like that you're not getting it, begin to pray and ask God how to do it, what to do, and let him lead you. Let the Holy Ghost lead you on how to do it and how to get it done. I was telling them that time when they were telling me I needed to get 400 of these things done a day, and I was like, huh? And I was like, Lord, I had to go to that bathroom. I went in that bathroom, and I began to pray and ask the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm going to get these numbers up. I'm going to get the numbers up. And this is when I was working as a contractor down in the bank. And I said, how am I going to get the numbers up? He told me exactly what to do. And I'm telling you, that day, the Lord showed me what to do and what to do, look at first. And when I began to look at those things, the Lord just began to show me. And they said, your numbers is up. You're almost at 400. And I made 400 that day, exactly. But I had to go in there and get some instruction from the Lord on how to do it because they were starting to act like they were getting ready to get rid of me or something because I didn't have them numbers up or I wasn't doing well. I said, Jesus. So I trust God for everything. I trust God on my job. I trust God in my home. I trust God for everything I do because if I don't, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I have to have my trust in him because I trust that he will get me through any situation I need. Some of us think, well, I'll be able to do it. I'm smart enough. I got the education. I'm smart enough, and I got the education, too. I said, but still, I need to go to God sometimes and ask him, Lord, how do I do this? How do I get this done? I got something I'm going to do after I get off this line. that I've been saying, Lord, how do I get this done? And I said, He gave it to me last night. And so I'm going to go on here and get it done because I was tired of filling with them pivot tables. I said, I ain't got time to keep doing that, Jesus. I need to learn how to. He said, this is how you're going to do it. So he told me, so I know I'm going to get it done when I get off here. But I am so thankful to the Lord that I can trust in him like that. So then let's talk about Jesus and his trust and his commitment. So when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was at a place because he knew what his purpose and his destiny was. He knew he was born to die. He was born to come and show us how to live, and then he was going to die. And I'm not telling y'all all this because somebody getting ready to die. We will live and declare the works of the Lord. That's our testimony, that we will live and declare the works of the Lord. We're going to be in good health. We're going to walk in good health. The plague is not coming nigh our dwelling. But what I'm telling you is that we got to have the kind of trust and commitment that Jesus had. When Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and his human side began to show. His humanness began to show. So he began to be sorrowful. He began to be kind of like, Lord, can this cup, because he knew what was getting ready to happen. He said, can this cup be taken from me? And he kept going. The disciples was there. They supposed to be praying with him. See, sometimes ain't nobody there to pray with you. They mean good. It ain't that they don't want to pray, but they were tired. And so they couldn't even keep their eyes open. So the Lord, that was something to show us. And so God was showing us that sometimes you can't depend on your prayer partner all the time. You got to depend on God, because he couldn't depend with them to pray with him for just 1 hour. They were over there asleep. And so every time he went to pray and every time he came back, his spirit got a little better. If we know it's what the scripture was doing. Because when he went the first time, he came back, he said, can y'all pray 1 hour? Then he went back again, fell on his face and prayed some more. Then he came back and he fell asleep, and he didn't really say nothing to him that time. And he went back and prayed again, and when he came back, he told him, go on and get your rest. Go on and get your rest, because the hour is at hand. I have been, you know, he had been betrayed. Judas had made that betrayal. And even when Judas came, when he kissed Judas, this is why I think we ain't supposed to kick people to the curb. Because when he kissed Judas, he called him friend. He didn't call him any time. I knew you was the devil from the beginning. He didn't say nothing that to you. He said, friend. That's what he said. So let us be careful about that. And I'm saying that for a reason, because we got to love one another. We can't keep just acting like, you know, all that. And I know people say it all the time, and I know it's become cliche and all of those things, but we got to do it God's way at the end of the day. And so when Jesus was, so what I'm saying is, Jesus trusted God enough that even in that difficult time, he gave it over to the God. He said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. If some of us need to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And so because we got to trust God like that, he trusted God enough to take him through the process that he was getting ready to go through. He trusted God enough that even though he was going to feel all kind of pain in his body, he was going to feel all kind of things in his flesh, because he took on the sins of the world in his flesh. And even though he was going to be hanging on that cross, he trusted God enough. Because you got to remember, Jesus was both our prophet, our priest, and our king. And he's the only one that has been given those titles in the Bible. It's Jesus. He was prophet, priest, and king. And because he was those things, he took care of us on all those levels. If we think about him being the prophet and how he came and he began to prophesy to us, he brought in the new covenant. He ushered in the new covenant. We were under the old covenant. We were under the law, so grace began to start. So he ushered in a new covenant when he came on the scene, a new covenant. So now we're under grace. We're not no more under the law, but we're under grace. Not that we still don't have to obey the laws, but we are under grace. And so we got to understand, he ushered in that. He was a prophet. So they called him prophet during his time. They called him a prophet. That's what they called Jesus. And then he became the priest. So when Jesus went to the cross, he was acting instead of the priest, like just with Aaron. When Aaron went into holies of holies, he went in behalf for himself and for the people, and he took in the sacrifice. Well, the wonderful thing about Jesus was both the priest and the sacrifice. When he shed his blood, it's done. We don't have to have no more bloodshed for redemption. Jesus was our redemption. And so he committed himself so to God that he was like, whatever I got to go through, I'm committed to God. I'm staying with God. I know they used to sing a song, the Bible and church choir used to sing a song, Staying with God. And then I think Ricky Dillon did it over and said, stay with God. And so we got to understand that we got to have that same kind of commitment to God, that we are sick with God no matter what it is we're going through, that we'll be committed to God no matter what people are saying or what's going on in our life. We're committed to God. We trust God that much. Does anybody on the line have anything to say? I'm just going on. Okay, well, I'll keep on going. So anyway, but that we are trusting God, that we trust God and we're committed to God. We got to commit to God. This is like, and when I thought about commitment, I thought, ooh, Lord. I said, commitment sometimes we want to fast. And then we give, then we mess up the fast. And, you know, we do things, you know, we have all kind of things that go on like that. And so it's just like, but our commitment to God has to be just like we can, when we want to commit to save, we got to commit to saving money. If you want to have a savings, then you got to commit to saving it. You can't just spend all the time. You got to keep track of what it is you're doing. You got to keep track of your finances. You got to write down what's coming in and what's going out, how much you're going to put in savings, and be committed to saving that. Just like with our diet, we got to be committed. Praise the Lord, Minister Wilders, Minister April, we got to be committed. To when we get on a diet, we got to be committed. We got to say, I'm going to not do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to exercise my body. We got to commit to those things. It's a commitment. It's almost a covenant relationship that we go into when we commit. When we get with God, we're making a covenant relationship with Him, saying, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do your will. We're doing all of these types of things because we want to stay committed to God. And so in our belief, we trust Him and we commit our way to Him. And Psalms, it says, that, you know, commit our way unto the Lord. We got to commit our ways unto the Lord. We got to commit our lives unto the Lord. These are all the things that need to be going on because we can't keep wavering back and forth. One day we're doing it. One day we're not doing it. Well, the day we trusting in our own self. No, keep your trust and your faith and your belief in God. He is the only one that can do it. You can't do it on your own. Only God can do it. Does anybody on the line have anything they want to say?
Elder,
yes.
I want to add to it because in order to be committed, you got to humble yourself because that's what Jesus did. The example you just used, He's humbled Himself unto God, and we need to humble ourselves unto God. 1 Peter 5:6 tell us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due season, He will exalt us. So if we humble ourselves to God, that means we will be lined up with Him because what we have to do is admit pride is in the camp. And
yes.
we got to get pride out of the camp so we can get in our rightful position so we can rock steady when things are coming through, when wind is blowing and the storms are raging, that we can rock steady because we're holding true to whatever God has said to us and that we will have the faith to trust in Him to know that He's going to work things out on our behalf because we're going to humble ourselves and believe in Him and trust Him. That's how we remain committed to Him because we stay humble. We have to stay in an atmosphere or attitude of humility.
Exactly.
That'll keep us from vacillating, going backwards and forwards because we keep letting flesh get in the way. And when flesh gets in charge, it makes all kind of mistakes, and it gets all kind of, gets out of order. Then we realize we need God, then we got to go through all this trouble, go through all these acrobatic behavior to get back to God. So if we could save ourselves some time, if we just make up our mind to truly be committed, and if it ever was a time for us to really make up our mind, if we can't see the signs now, something is wrong with us. But we need to make up our mind to be truly committed to God and tell Him in all of our ways, just let Him acknowledge Him and let Him direct our path. He'll show us the way to go, just like you said, you didn't know how to do something on the job. He gave you direction. He will do the same thing for us when we are facing situations. If we will allow Him and if we will submit ourselves to Him and be humble, like Christ did at the Garden of Gethsemane when He could have walked away, but He was committed to the cause and the purpose that He was here for. We've got to be committed to the cause and the purpose that God has allowed us to stay here. And if we don't know what that is, we need to be seeking Him. We need to be committed to seeking God. What is it that you would have me to do? Show me what I need to correct. Show me where I'm out of error. We need to be humble enough to ask God and listen when He speaks and then adhere to what He said so we can be on track and be walking in the atmosphere where we are trusting Him and we are committed to Him and He will show us that we will have a more prosperous and successful life in our finances, in our personal life, in our spiritual being, and in all aspects of life. the enemy wants us to live a defeated life, and that's why he want to keep us confused. But I'm saying we need to stay focused on what God has given us to do and then stay committed to the cause with an humble heart.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. It takes humility. It takes a, it's a hard matter with all of it. If we cannot, because that's so right. Christ humbled himself to the cross. He humbled himself to the will of God. He humbled himself to the cross, the thing he was about, that he was purposed here to do. That's what he did. He had to humble himself to it. And it's the same thing that we got to do. All these things work that we've been teaching a lot. Humility was one of the things we talked during this series. Elder Timberlake taught that. She still got a couple more she's going to teach and coming up next month. But it's just something we got to do. If we're going to make it, we're going to have to trust him. If we're going to make it through this time we're going through right now, we got to trust God. We can't trust in the president. We can't trust in the Congress. We can't trust in others. And I said, people keep telling me, oh, I just can't wait to get my stimulus. I said, one more person say something about that stimulus, Jesus. I said, they act like it's going to make the world go round. No, it's not. It's just a drop in the bucket. It's not. And then we got to really know what to do with that. If we don't learn anything during this time, we got to learn that we need to turn our hearts back to God. We need to learn that we need to repent. We need to learn that we need to trust God even more. We need to be committed to who our God is, who God is and what God has for us to do and who we are in him. Not so much who we are on the outside of him, but who we are in him. I can't do nothing on my own, but I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, through Christ that strengthens me. And so those are the things that we got to understand. If we're going to make it through this time, if we're going to be encouraged through this time, turn to God, turn to the word of God, turn to prayer, and do that, and get to it on your own. I know we have, I listen to a lot of stuff. I listen to my pastor, Bishop Jay. I listen to Pastor Hannah, John Hannah over in Chicago. I listen to Pastor Kelly and Pastor Sino down in Mississippi. That Pastor Sarah Balboa up there in Indianapolis. I listen to a lot of people online. And so, but the one thing I value is my time, my personal time with God. I can't do without it. That's what I say. I can't do without it. I've got to have my personal prayer time. It's all right to be on the other prayer calls and all these things, but it is nothing like your own personal prayer time with the Lord. It's nothing like that time of studying the word of God and sitting there and listening, getting a little quiet and hearing what God is saying to you. And the one thing I never will forget, I heard Bishop Hilliard say this. He said when you go in that prayer and that worship time with God, take you a pen and paper and be ready to write when God begins to speak to you, because God is not obligated to repeat himself. And so you want to be ready when he begins to speak to you that you can write it down, because you may not remember. You know what I'm saying? When things get kind of crazy, you might, you know, things, the day begins to go on. And I don't know. I know people are like, I know everybody has their time of prayer, but it's nothing like that morning time to me. It's just nothing, because I pray sometime in the evening as well. But that morning time is that time where it's fresh. Things, the day ain't got started, the drama ain't got started, all those things, and I can just hear what God is saying. And that's what you want to do. You want to get to that place. This is a time. Some of us are at home working. Some of us are at home and being paid and not working. Some of us are at home because we may not be able to work at this time. And whatever your condition or your situation is, take advantage of this time. Take advantage of this time. Praise Lord, Elder Daryl Davis and Elder Chris. Chris White and Daryl Davis. Praise the Lord. And anyway, and Greg McKinney. Praise the Lord. But anyway, take advantage of this time. People can't push that enough. Take advantage of this time to grow close to the Lord. I thought about a song came in my spirit. It says, "Draw me close to you, and never let me go." Those are the things that we want to begin to draw closer to God. This is a time for your creativity to come forth. God might speak something to you and give you something creative, but you got to be ready. You can't be out doing something. And, you know, I know there's some good movies and all this stuff on things. I know. Because, I watch TV, too, because I'm over here by myself. Sometimes the TV provides noise in the house for me, so that's why I turn it on. What I told myself is don't let that take precedence over me taking some time to get with God. Set a time and you get in there. You know, they say resurrect your altar. I cleaned out a closet. It's funny. Because, you know, all my closets, Lord help us. But anyway, but I cleaned out a closet and I put my little prayer stuff in there. Just I go in there and I sit and I read and I try to hear from God. And then I got a chair that I pray on. I pray at all the time. And I don't know why I pray in this closet, but that chair allows me to be able to stretch out more. And so I keep going and I keep going to that chair as well. But anyway, but I go to those places because those are places where me and God talk, where we have a conversation. And so all I'm saying is that set those places so that you can have this time with the Lord and seek him even the more. I'm telling you, if you do it, you're going to come out better. You're going to come out with a greater anointing. You're going to come out with what God has for you to have. And you're going to come out with those witty inventions and ideals that God has for you. And it's not just about you coming out, but it's just about you building a better relationship with God and trusting him more and committing more to him. This is what we want to do. Does anybody else have anything they want to say? We are almost out of time.
I'd just like to read from Job 23 when it says, "But he knows," and this is a Message version, "but he knows where I am and what I've done. He can cross-examine me all he wants, and I will pass the test with honors. I've followed him closely, my feet in his footprints, not once swerving from his ways. I've obeyed every word he's spoken, and not just obeyed his advice. I've treasured it." If we treasure God, then let's work on being committed to him and humbling ourselves and truly trust him to know that he knows the best for us, because he's concerned about what we're concerned about. He sees us. He knows all. And if we are walking in his footsteps, and if we are trying and he sees our effort, he will help us. So we don't have to do this by ourselves. We're not in this situation by ourselves. We're not even serving God by ourselves. He's there to help us, to strengthen us. The Holy Spirit is our keeper and our guide and our teacher. So whatever we need, the Lord's got it. And one of them old folks' songs back in the day, one of them Pentecostal songs, whatever you need, Lord God's got it. He's got everything that you need. So if we just trust him and stop looking at things with our natural eye and truly begin to live by faith and not by sight, we'll see the Lord work miraculously in our lives. We'll be able to see the wonders of the things that we've heard the old saints talk about, what preachers have been preaching about. We'll see the manifestation of God's word before our own eyes, with our natural eyes, if we just begin to really trust and be totally committed to him in this season.
Yes. We'll begin to see it. We'll begin to see it. And we long for it, and our children need to see it, and the younger people need to see it. They need to see the move of God. Like some of us got the opportunity to see. We got to see people being delivered. We got to see demons coming out. We got to see people being healed. We got to see those things, and we need to see them still today. And so, but we got to get back to God like we were. We don't know today if life will ever go back like it was. We're not really clear. We're not sure about that. But even if it don't, if I'm closer to God, if I am, this is a big old Bible shout. Ooh, it's heavy. But if we go back, if we get back on track with God that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in our heart, let us get back to the purpose and the place that God has for us so that we can be found doing his will. Because you know what? The Bible says gifts and callings go without repentance. So there's a whole lot of people that gifted and they're called and all of those things, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to make the heaven. Now, that's what the scripture say. That ain't my word. That's the scripture. So he said on that one day, he said they were saying, "Lord, Lord," and he said, "I never knew you." I don't want God to say that to me. What I want him to say is, "My servant, well done." I don't want him to say, "I never knew you." And so none of us want that. So if this is an opportunity for us just to take some time, we're not saying you got to be in prayer for no 3 hours, 2 hours, all that. That's not what we're saying. But whatever time, it ain't but 10 minutes, do that. Whatever it is. And then make sure you're exercising yourself during this time. If you ain't doing nothing but walking in place, whatever you're doing, get a little exercise so your heart can stay healthy, so you can stay healthy during this time. Because I'm telling you now, I had to check my own self, because I had went to the store and I bought all this stuff, and I had bought some stuff I hadn't eaten in years, and every time I eat something, I think, "Ooh, it got a whole bunch of salt in." I said, "I ain't buying it no more, Lord. Don't let me get no more of that, because I don't want to eat that." I said, "Lord, help me to get back to that, what I was doing." I'm over here trying to do a Breaking Bad habits. The habits, you know, last year, during the summer, my air conditioner was out, so I was over in his hot house, and so I had begin. I stopped cooking because I was it was too hot to cook, and so I started, you know, dropping by, getting something to eat, and that kind of thing. I said, Lord, let all that stop, because that is not good for my diet. So anyway, so just make good decisions, good healthy decisions. We're almost out of time. Elder Timberlake, can you do our call to Christ today?
All right. For those of you that are listening today, and if you have not had a relationship with God, but your heart has been touched by what you've heard, or if you're going through right now in this season and you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed and you don't know what to do, we recommend Jesus. And he's made the way so plain that even a fool does not have to err. So if you just repeat after me, and if you admit in your heart that you've sinned and that you want to accept God as your Lord and Savior, and simply say, Lord, come into my life today. Forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry for all of my mistakes and my error of my ways. Today, I want you to be Lord over my life. Please come into my heart today. Teach me your ways. And I give my life to you, and I promise you that I will serve you for the rest of my life. If you prayed that prayer and you were sincere and you meant it, God heard you. And the angels in heaven are rejoicing. And this is a season of praise for one sheep that was lost that has been found. And so we just want to give God praise and to give honor. We recommend that you get into a Bible-believing church, that you begin to study the Word on your own and find a Bible-believing church where you can be taught spiritually and be fed so you can grow. Find you a very spiritual mentor that loves God, that is faithful to God, and that can encourage you and keep you on the path. But if you pray that prayer and you believe it, and we are decreeing with you, the Word says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead, the Word says that you are saved. And so we declare today that you are saved by the blood of Jesus. We give him honor and we give him praise and we thank the Lord for the new beginning souls that have joined the fold today. We thank the Lord for it. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, Steve Morrell. Praise the Lord. Sister Dodson, would you do our final prayer?
Amen. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, dear Lord, because you know where we are and you see who we are. Dear God, help us daily to trust in you. Teach us, O God. In Jesus' name, I pray that you bless everyone that's listened to this broadcast, those that were on Facebook. I pray you touch each life and be with them, Lord, throughout the week. Protect them and keep them. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Michael Terry. Thank you, the Minister Dodson. I thank God for both Minister Dodson and Elder Timberlake being on the line and their words and their prayers and just their support. I thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Elder Montgomery, for saying establish a sanctuary in your home. So we're just so thankful for all that God did today. We took more time in prayer at the beginning, so we was a little heightened up then. And so, but anyway, we thank God. I hope the word blessed you. I hope it fell on good ground. Here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast, and we will be talking about commitment. And so we brought commitment in today. Praise the Lord, Elizabeth. Praise the Lord. And so we talked about commitment. We started commitment today, and so we're going to go on with commitment from there. And then I believe Elder Timberlake is going to come back in April, maybe a couple of weeks, and she's going to finish out humility. And then we'll go back to commitment, and then we'll finish out with these other topics. And then we got two more after that, and then that. And then we're going to a heart. The next series we're going to do is Heart Matters. So anyway, that's what the Lord said. So anyway, God bless you all. See you back here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast. God bless you.
God bless you. Good night. God bless you.